Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, and this is Technori Live on WGN Radio. We are here where we tell Chicago's top entrepreneurs and founders. They come here to tell us their story. We are here in studio live with Bill Bennett, the CEO and founder of Level Office.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks for taking the time. Sorry we weren't a little more clear with our directions to get you here, but you are here, in fact, so it worked out.
It worked perfectly.
Very cool. So before we kind of get rolling into a bunch of different things, we have a lot in common with regard to us throwing events and you guys hosting events and you guys also being in office space and what I understand to be the largest co-working space market in the country, correct?
Level Office in Chicago has the largest co-working space in the city, and we're one of the largest and fastest growing companies in the world in this sector. Yep.
That's pretty awesome. So why don't you kind of give us a rundown quickly on what Level Office is, and then we'll kind of pick apart how it's different from others and where you guys sort of hang your hat.
You bet. So Level Office is a co-working space provider, which basically means we have cool and affordable office space in great locations and major downtown metros. And so a typical firm for us is some sort of professional service firm or startup or technology firm that has 1 to 50 employees. And, you know, they're basically looking for somebody to provide a bundled solution that has space, services, technology, and, you know, can move in and be productive as a company and not think about their real estate.
Very cool. So we look at things like WeWork. We look at things like 1871. We look at things at TechNexus. Obviously, there's a bunch of other ones. The latter two being the big difference is that they are incubators and accelerators are sort of housed within them. Do you guys do that, or is it more of the WeWork type, or is there even different from WeWork in that it's, I guess I always looked at it like we have 4 or 5 people. It's a little tight to be working out of a closet. So we'd like to be able to grow, but I also don't want to move 15 times. So I can grow sort of as my team grows, we can grow into bigger offices within your space. And then when it's time to move out, if it ever is, then we could move out. That seems to be the common theme with the co-working spaces. But one of the differentiators being like, for example, WeWork kind of ties their brand around the party type of thing. That seems to be a big thing. How do you guys brand out differently? What is your forte?
Yeah, our forte is really starting with the business model. So we actually own all the buildings we're in, and so we can do everything we want for the clients that are in the space. And so that starts with having more space and more amenities. So larger amenity areas, things like showers, self-storage, bike rooms, breastfeeding rooms, yoga studios, podcasting rooms that you probably wouldn't find in a place like WeWork. And Then we tend to do it at about half or two-thirds of the price of what they would charge because we're not fundamentally paying rent that then has to be marked.
There's no pass-through. You guys own the building.
Exactly right. And so, you know, we tend to be the low-cost provider in the country that I'm aware of, at least that's in the for-profit space and not the, you know, sort of nonprofit space. But we tend to be cheaper than most of the nonprofits as well because most of those rent their space, you know, and need to mark it up to break even.
What would be like a price point? And I'm not going to ask you like your per square foot or anything like that, but like what would be a price point for, or maybe you don't even do this, for like a solo worker? I'm a one-man company, Bob, who's kind of a more or less a one-man company. When he comes in, what would be a price point for like an individual to just sign up?
Sure. So the desk program would be $200 a month.
Okay. So that's $150 cheaper than 1871 right off the bat.
Right. Yeah. And then we have offices starting at $300 a month. And so, most of the people in a private office space would be $300 to $700 a month for 1 to 2 people. Typically a budget is $300 to $400 a person a month to have a very nice high-end office, incredible internet, great amenities and a large community of entrepreneurs, small business owners, professional service firms to be around.
Okay, so we're going to start to slide into differentiation for some people using TechNexus only because I started my first company there and we're now there right now, Venture Collaborative, where I feel like one of the major, I don't want to say like the difference between that and why we went that way versus say a co-working space was the fact that we are kind of part of the fabric of their investment portfolio. We have access to investors who are operating there, big corporations that are operating there. And there's a little bit more of a, again, really a bad description. People probably don't. This is Terry sitting there like, Jesus, man, why even talking about TechNexus? There's a little bit of a tie of that accelerator incubator feel in it.
Yep.
Right from the get-go. for you, I feel like there's some of that too, though.
We have some of it. You know, I would say our real bread and butter is catering to growth firms. And so as people add more employees, we don't charge them anymore. You know, we don't charge per person or per desk that we have. If you have an office that has four people and you want to have six, that's fine. If you have summer interns, they can just hang in the co-working space for free if you rent an office. And so, you know, our core constituency has really been sort of these firms that are growing up. We certainly have programming and lunch and learns and all the sort of business support ideas that a lot of the incubators have. We would be less sort of inclined to invest in the companies in our space, although we've done it before.
Yeah. So I guess what I was kind of getting at there is, you know, minus the hands-on approach, which is not the case for everyone there. I mean, that's only a handful of companies within any incubators actually invested in by the incubator. It's still mostly open co-working. But you've essentially created the same experience that I can come in there and as a small company of five, we can meet 4, 5, 10, 20 different companies that are working in your space and perhaps provide them services, maybe discounted because we're at your location. But you create that sort of ability, an incubator, if you will, in that we can sort of get started and do a client list throughout your group. And I imagine if we grow, we can go to different spaces and things like that.
Yeah. So, you know, just in Chicago, we have more than 1,000 people that are in our buildings today. And about 30% of all the companies in our space make at least what they pay in rent and revenue by doing business with the other companies in it. And so, you know, most of the companies in our space aren't actually startups. They're mostly growth firms. And so it creates a great idea for finding solutions for accounting, web development, app development, software, finance, legal, marketing, digital marketing. You know, all those firms are well represented in our space.
I was going to say, so they have sort of similar to the rest of them, they have these large companies are, they have a presence within your space.
They do. And what we're seeing is, you know, sort of in the sector, it just reflects how the world's changing. And that is, there's more and more small business job creation. That's where most of the job creation is in the country, is in 1 to 50 person firms. And then the larger firms that are still creating jobs, they're usually not doing it on corporate campuses anymore. They're really doing it in satellite locations, and they're looking for more sort of flexibility and more access to talent. And so, you know, we have a lot of these sort of far suburban firms or firms from other cities that need a sort of beachhead location in Chicago. And so they move into a place like Level Office because they can get access to potential customers. And, you know, if you're sort of in the center of the loop or River North or the West Loop where we are, it helps with hiring, especially millennial tech-focused employees.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the draw for me downtown, was that I need a place that I can work. And when I say it's creative, I want to be able to feel free and that I can come up with cool things and work and have a space that's dedicated to me, which is why I like, you know, what you guys are doing. I like the affordable space model, but what I like more about the co-working-ish versus the incubators for the most part, other than, like I said, Technexus, I like because it's fairly quiet, is that there it's not so noisy. It's not a party. Like, I came here to work. So some of these places I've noticed have gone the route where it's literally, it feels like I just walked into a kegger.
Yeah, I mean, like, some of them are frat-tastic. You know, I think we hear that about WeWork from time to time, that, you know, it's just not that cool to see people drinking at 11 a.m. on a Tuesday and playing ping pong. And
I mean, it's totally fine if it's like game day, you know, that's
right.
Like different.
I'm all for it. I'll be there with you.
I was going to say, I'm totally down. No, but that's the thing. Like, and this is, it makes me want to punch myself. My like 20-year-old version of myself would punch myself in the face for saying this, but it gets old. Like, it just, you want, like, I have a lot of work to do, and I just, whether I don't have self-control or I just don't want to be distracted by it, it's nice to be able to go into a place where it's a very nice environment and people are working, and I can see, you know, I get driven by watching you work hard. And so across the glass window from me, I see you busting your butt. That makes me want to work all the much more harder. Not seeing you play, that makes me want to leave and go play.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think productivity and work go hand in hand. And so we're very focused on trying to create a productive environment. You know, at the same time, we throw happy hours all the time. They just wouldn't start at, you know, 11 a.m.
Well, you're not going to lose then. You can get some work done and have a couple drinks. So before we let you out here, I want to kind of get your story a little bit because, you know, this is a space that you've grown quickly, but you haven't been around forever, but you've been around long enough.
Yeah, so we started in 2012, and the quick version is I was running another company, and I just couldn't find office space when I called. All these tall buildings were sitting among in downtown Chicago, and nobody called me back, or, you know, they wanted me to sign a long-term lease and rent a bunch more space than I wanted. And everybody sort of pushed me to some of these, you know, sort of older school firms. You know, Regis is sort of the main example. And I found they're very expensive, and it was sort of a soul-crushing existence.
And the carpets have stains, and just it's not very appealing.
It's not appealing.
No.
And so, you know, I finally looked at myself and said, gosh, I understand. I am the customer. I understand what this, you know, should be to be cool and affordable in a good location. And, you know, I'm a real estate developer, so why don't I put this, you know, business together and start going? And so Level Office now has 15 locations in 11 cities. We've raised $200 million from investors and myself. And, you know, we're making a good run at it. So we're growing at 1% to 2% a week, which is really exciting. And we continue taking market share from a lot of our competitors, I think mainly because we have more amenities and we undercut them on price and we have slightly more professional space.
What was, I have to say, like the, when you said that you own the buildings, it was sort of like a duh moment, right? Like you should have been able to do that. But in my mind, that I guess it's expensive and you have to raise capital to be able to buy the buildings, of course. How did you go about that? Like, you don't have to tell me this, the syrup behind it, but like, how did you realize, like, you know what? I'm not going to play in the price game. I'm just going to buy the comp. I'm just going to buy the building, and then I own the. Then I run the price.
Yeah, you know, I think part of it is we're all comfortable with the hammers we use, and so I'm a real estate owner by trade, and so I was very comfortable with that. And then as I started looking at the business model of like Regis, I said fundamentally it's just flawed. Like, how can your largest revenue and expense category you don't have control over either of them?
Yeah,
and you know what? With a major barrier for me of growing a business was an expense, and I thought, gosh, if I can cut these rents in half, it's going to help companies grow more, and that's going to create a bigger market. It's also going to allow us to take market share from other people. And fundamentally, they just can't respond because their business model is such that they can't break even at the rates we charge. So, you know, yes, it's extremely much more capital intensive to do it the way I'm doing, but it creates a better product for customers, and that's sort of what it's all about. And so I think we'll, you know, we'll see that we have staying power and that we continue to steal market share because other people just can't price like we can price when they're renting.
And unlike anything else, if this doesn't work out, when you decide to sell all the IP, you actually have something to sell.
Yeah, you have a hard asset. Yeah. So, you know, fundamentally,
it's a great business model.
Yeah, I think so. And so different people have different views on it. You know, we've had a lot of success raising money, and a lot of the, you know, prolific sort of entrepreneurs and families in Chicago have been behind it. At the same point, a lot of the VCs I talk to think it's the craziest thing in the world. And, you know, why would you ever?
You have an appreciating asset. I don't understand how you would. I mean, you buy computer. Every other company buys computers and paperwork and all this other stuff sitting around us.
Goes down in value.
Goes right down in value the minute you buy it. Yours is actually an appreciating asset. So, like, at nothing else, you knock on wood, depending on what goes on politically around here. But knock on wood, you have, you know, inflation built into your system. You're making money just by the very virtue of being there.
You should. I mean, unless you're, you know, really poor at doing
it. I was in commercial real estate back in 6 through 9, so I got to watch as that didn't bear out. But
there were some good waves there. So you rode the big one.
I rode a wave. I'm not sure. It actually went all right for me. But in general, this is very cool. I would love to have you guys back on again and keep us posted on what's going on. Let me know what events we can plug, things like that. Where do people go to learn more about Level and how do they get started with it?
Sure. It's leveloffice.com. We'd love to give, you know, anybody and everybody a tour. We have 4 locations in Chicago, and then we're in Jacksonville, Charlotte, D.C., Indianapolis, Pittsburgh, Houston, Dallas, San Diego, and Seattle, and soon to be Denver. And so,
the hottest tech markets popping off, pretty much.
Yeah, you know, and we're hiring too. So we'd love to find some smart, young, hardworking people to join the team. We're at 40 employees now, and we'll be probably at 100 by the end of the year. So
very cool.
Lots of opportunity.
Congrats on the success.
Hey, thanks so much. Really appreciate being on.
Absolutely, we'll have you back. Thank you so much, Bill.
All right, cheers.